Under pressure that burns a building down, splits a family in two, puts people on streets. Hi, I'm Paul McInnes, and this is Music Weekly. Coming up forthwith, we'll talk R. Kelly and why Kasabian are rubbish with Everything Everything. We'll chew over new music from Fool's Gold, The Drums, and So Solid in Singles Club. We'll digest your face back into a bolus and serve it with a side order of Feature With No Name. But first, it's time for a piano lesson with Gonzalez. That's Gonzalez's piano version of Waves by Boys Noize. And Gonzalez is our first guest this week. A rapper, producer, former indie frontman and part of the Montreal Mafia that takes in Feist, Peaches and Tiga. He's also a wild, uncontrollable art beast, as my colleague Rosie Swatch would no doubt attest.
Art beast, yeah. I like that. He also broke the world record for longest continuous piano concert ever.
Exactly.
Do you know how long he played for?
No, I do not.
You do? No, yeah. I thought
it's about 27 hours.
Yeah, it's 27 hours.
I do know that. I do a tiny little bit of research. But anyway, because he's an art beast, we thought we'd pair him with an interviewer who's a little bit soft and arty and floaty and nonsense. So we sent Laura Barton. Sorry, Laura. We thought we'd send Laura Barton down. And so they met at the Pigalle Club, where Gonzalez is currently doing a residency in London. And they have a great exchange of minds, and there's even a piano lesson right at the end, so stay tuned for that. But Laura starts off by asking him how his switch to London came about.
I feel like I neglected my audience in England because I got seduced by France. And this was a slow yet exhilarating process to suddenly be welcomed into the bosom of the French, as it were. It's very seductive, but 5 or 6 years later, it's true that I realized it was like waking up from a dream and realizing that if I just stayed there and just kept on drinking the red wine and kept on sitting in front of the fireplace in my slippers, I might wake up 10 years, 20 years down the line and realize that I'm only famous in France. And another quite sincere problem I had being there was to not be able to speak English on stage. And you know, I grew up in Canada, so I know how to speak French. But there's still something about, even if you're fluent, you can never really be one of them. England is something that's much closer to me as a Canadian. You know, England is our former colonial master. The culture is not nearly as alien to me. The great sense of humor that Canadians are credited with is actually the English sense of humor, just twice removed. So all that brings me here to London to try to scratch back, claw my way a little bit back up to what I had going 5 or 6 years ago before I got kind of brainwashed by the cheese eaters.
The piano, you started playing when you were about, was it three?
Three or four. I mean, it kind of went in cycles. I would play the piano for a while, and then I would kind of reject it. It was kind of what my older brother did as well. And I would sort of go on the drums for a while, or I would get really into comic books. Little things would distract me along the way, but at some point, I always would come back to just trying to figure out songs on the piano. And early on, I had this kind of gift to be very patient, to have a good musical memory, and to take the time to just figure out how to play songs that I would hear on the radio. And that was, you know, that continues to this day. I mean, a lot of what I do on stage now is just due to the fact that I can absorb a lot of music in a technical sense, and then, you know, the comic books and the playing of the drums and all that other kind of stuff just kind of also seeps in and sort of turned me into this musical supervillain I am today.
Gonzalez!
Then I don't look good, then we don't look good. So
Let's make it work, please. Straight to work, please. Up your shirt sleeves. And if you're done talking, then I'm done talking. So we're done talking.
So there's going to be quite a bit of comedy and performance.
Well, and tragedy and comedy, sure. I mean, for me, humor is you know, I use humor in the sense of, I guess, the Jewish term of humor, which is, I'm an idiot. Aren't we all idiots? Not, look, he's an idiot. That's kind of parody, I would say. And that's clowning. But, you know, what I do is try to mix together a certain amount of musical genius, which involves, you know, a certain amount of depth, a certain amount of sophistication that we don't always hear in today's musical landscape of my generation, but also in a way that entertains.
But there'll be some education as well in this performance, won't
there? Well, in the sense that, you know, I think there are some elements of the construction of music that are fodder for entertainment and that have a certain ridiculous yet poetic quality. And people don't realize that there are rules in music. There's rules in electronic music. A certain construction in an electronic song is just as stringent and just as fascist as the sonata form of classical music, which is just as fascist as how you should play the banjo if you're going to play a bluegrass number. So, you know, there are rules everywhere, and I think the rules are there, A, to be followed, B, to be made fun of.
You're going to be having some help from some celebrity guests?
Yeah, absolutely. Help filling this club, absolutely, because, let's be honest, this is small time. This is small potatoes. Gonzalez, who? Right? Okay, so I'm clawing my way back up. And yeah, I do have this sort of ability to be in many places at one time, doing a lot of producing, a lot of co-writing, and little bits here and there. And my Rolodex has a lot of A-listers.
Really?
I'll be honest. You know, I got Jarvis Cocker on speed dial. That's all I'm saying. I'm on a first syllable basis with him. Just Jarv. And otherwise, yeah, it goes from A-list to D and P and Z-list. And then back up to a G-list. Basically, there's Akira the Don, who I saw is called a laptop rapper. That's the last thing I saw. You know, I could suggest to journalists, if they want to be even more succinct, they could just say a raptop. And on the 25th will be Sam Eastgate, the singer from Late of the Pier, which I think is the most unlikely combination. We have a very ambitious program because we've been exchanging emails, and he's suggesting some... He has a very wide range of influences, and I'm not kidding. He's suggesting things like Balinese folk songs.
Brilliant. Can you give me a piano lesson, please?
Absolutely. Thank Absolutely. Okay, so harmony is something that's very important in music, more so than melody and rhythm. You know, melody is something that's very... you know, it's very literal. It's usually connected with vocals and singing. But the harmony is something that, unless you really have studied it and kind of gotten into it, it's the most subtle, the part that works on your unconscious, and I think the part that manipulates your emotions the most effectively, because it's really ephemeral. It's really hard to put your fingers on it. And the basic building blocks of harmony are the tonic and the dominant. And the tonic is kind of the home key. Let's say we're going to do a song in C major. C, played here on the left hand in the bass, is the tonic. And that's stable. You're at home. You can just sit here and play a C. And that's it, you know? And a lot of songs are just built on that, you know? Michael rowed the boat ashore. Hallelujah. It just stays there. Okay? Now, if music was just 100% stability, there would be no tension, and it would be boring very, very quickly. And, I mean, case in point, Michael Row the Boat Ashore is a fucking boring song, okay? And that's because there's no tension. That's because, I guess, the writers, they were lazy or something. I don't know what they were doing, but they were just like, oh, that's good enough. C major, you know? That's not good enough. Music has to have tension. It has to go somewhere. And the dominant is the note that you play in the bass to sort of invite resolution. It creates tension. So if you're in C major, what you have to do is you have to count down four notes. So you go like this. C, B, A, G. And now you're in G. And now we're not stable. If we hang on this, something's wrong. It has to resolve and go back to the tonic, okay? And that basic building block is really in all musical styles, pretty much. Okay, I'm going to have you go like this. I'm going to have you just play the C, G, C, G, which, by the way, C, G are my initials, Chili Gonzalez. C, G. Okay, so I can take you through a little tour of a few different styles of music that all work with this, okay? We can do some kind of Baroque, kind of classical type thing. So that was kind of some classical. Like, keep on going, keep it going, keep it going. Yeah. So this will always continue, okay? Let's say we're going to do some samba. Keep on going. You could even do some gospel type shit. So. And this is, I don't know, if you've ever heard a Beethoven symphony, pretty much always ends with just these notes. So let's do a little bit faster now. On the C. 1, 2, 3, 4.
That was Laura Barton with Gonzalez, and his residency at London's Pigalle Club finishes on November the 25th. Check out myspace.com/gonspiration, G-O-N-Z-piration, for more info. Hokey dokey, time to move on, as my ex-girlfriend used to like to say, and we're going to hit Singles Club in the company of the guy's very own Oldham-based bruiser, Will Dean.
Hello, Paul. Hello. Not actually Oldham based anymore.
No.
Oldham originating.
Are you sure from. You don't kind of come down, go back at the weekend because you miss barn cakes or whatever?
Potato cakes.
Potato cakes. So, Will, I hope you're well. We're going to start with your choice, and that is the So Solid. No more crew. And since you went away. For more peas than the perpetrators perpetrating the people's pockets up in the parliament daily. You get it? From the step to the game and all the name, and it's nothing but. So nobody done it like we did it. We planted the seed that grew trees, that grew leaves to fly off. Stack up the cheddar, believe. We're stuck in the genes of the game and it can't wash to die off. Yeah, we're still booting the doors, so if you want it, you can give an applause. But if you don't, it's all good, good. We're still stuck in your face, you know the good looks. That's Since You Went Away by So Solid. So Solid Crew were the 45-piece South London mob who were a bit garage, a bit grime, and single-handedly responsible for all the gun crime in London in the early noughties. Well, if you've read The Standard, at least. Now they're back, only they've got rid of the crew, about 37 different members, including the only successful one, Asher D. Will, tell us about why on earth you've brought this in today.
Well, I've always been kind of fascinated by So Solid. They... When I was in sixth form, that's when 21 Seconds came out, and they seemed this genuinely sort of dangerous force. I think that's because we were a load of, you know, white idiots who didn't know anything about music. And, you know, you'd see on the news, oh, you know, they're responsible for all this nonsense. Kim Howells was calling them idiots. I remember they had a show at Manchester Academy, which got cancelled. And that they kind of seemed like a genuine, interesting phenomenon. And then gradually... There were court cases and those things, and they became a bit of a joke, and they all appeared on the games, and they've all sort of stratified into these different areas. And I think it's quite interesting that it feels like they broke down the barrier that now the likes of N-Dubs and Tinchy Trider are sort of riding on of British hip-hop, which sort of didn't happen for a very long time compared to what happened in America.
But I suppose it's British hip-hop to a certain extent, though,
yeah,
isn't it?
Sorry, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's sort of into the mainstream. I suppose Dizzy took that baton, carried it, and now it's dominating the charts, and maybe their legacy isn't quite remembered as much.
So this is giving props to So Solid Day.
Yeah, I think so.
Right, fair enough. They did used to have a bit of edge to their music, didn't they, Rosie?
Yeah, I think that. But what I find weird about this track is I'm not really sure exactly where it sits. I take your point about the hip-hop But it just seems like before, with 21 Seconds, they were at least representing, you know, the two-step phenomenon that was going on then, and they did seem to come from somewhere. And now, they don't. I don't know whether they particularly represent the underground or anything else. The whole premise of the song is set up in the beginning with Mega Man saying, you know, I'm back and all this, you know, I think he was cleared for murder or something.
There's actually a line that says, this time we're doing it for the money. tells you all about their intentions.
Fair enough. So what were they doing it for before?
Just to get big feed up for 40 members' crew. People were starving there.
I mean, I don't particularly like it. I do agree with Will. There was something quite interesting about the phenomenon of them back then. And I would like to, it just calls to mind what's happened to all the rest of them who were part of it. I mean, it was really over only ever about these three and Asher D anyway. And we all know that Asher D's gone on to be reading.
Neutrino.
Oh, yeah.
There was
what's happened to them?
Yeah, there were, and also MC Harvey. Who love rat MC Harvey?
Yeah.
Who no longer with him. So I mean, let's talk about the music just for a moment. It is kind of it's pop R&B. There's nothing really UK about this, is there?
No, I mean it's perfectly serviceable. It's quite nice. I think I like the Elkie Brooks sample, which Lisa Mafia holds onto very well. She's a dead good singer.
That is the return of So Solid, and you can check it out yourself on Mega Man's YouTube channel right now. It comes out to buy in January. Next up. On Singles Club, it's Hard Vash by Fool's Gold. That's Hard Vash by Fool's Gold. Fool's Gold are Luke Topp and Louis Pezakoff, denizens of Los Angeles, who perform in a band that includes former members of The Fall. Yes, there is life after Marquis Smith, and perhaps if the band gets big, they can afford to get some counselling. Topp was born in Israel and has a penchant for singing in Hebrew. Hard Vash translates as the honey, though if you put it in Google Translator, it comes out as the milk from the teat of the bee. Rosie, it doesn't matter, I made up. Rosie, you brought this in.
I do. Is that you trying to sing the melody from the song?
Well, yeah, I was just oscillating there on a note.
I was going to pick their song Surprise Hotel, but it's so completely Afropop that I thought this discussion might stall around there. And, you know, they do sit somewhere between Yeasayer and Vampire Weekend in that regard. But I think, you know, it's easy to sort of dismiss, basically all-white band from LA as jumping on some kind of bandwagon by taking their influences from outside mainstream rock and roll, which is obviously what they've done here. I think they say they specifically like Congolese, Ethiopian, Eritrean and Malian music, krautrock and 80s dance influent pop music, which is basically
what they all like.
What they all like. But I think there's nothing new really from taking influences, particularly this song. Everyone since the Beatles and Talking Heads and Jar Wobble, who we had on the podcast, they've all done it. And I think that Fool's Gold do it particularly well. I just think the song's absolutely lovely, and I think also it doesn't sound like it's trying to be clever. I don't think they've got any agenda other than just making this kind of music, so to accept it for what it is, it's very lovely.
Will, do you like this?
Yeah, I do actually. When I was listening to it, because it's quite a long instrumental at the beginning, isn't it? And I love that so much, the scratchy guitars and those tumbling riffs, that I thought, is this an instrumental? And for what's quite rare for me, I actually thought, I think this would be better without any lyrics on top of it. And I sort of went with that when they started as well. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, I didn't get a chance to listen to any more of them, so that's the limits of my context. But yeah, I can see the Tenari Wen comparison as well. But maybe that's just a statement on the narrowness of our
exposure to world music. Well, that could well be the case. I do think that there is something to be said about that. There was going to be few people who understand the lyrics, so it does become more of an instrumental addition. But no, I think I think we're all in agreement. It's a very beautiful track, and you can check out a lot more of their stuff. I am on their MySpace now, where Hard Vash is available too. Is it coming out on the releasing the Fool's Gold EP over here, Rosie?
I've got an album out. eponymous album, which is out very, very soon.
Okay, very good. Well, we'll find the date and we'll put it on the blog. Now, final track on Singles Club this week, I Felt Stupid by The Drums. Your arms around me seem to be the only good thing that ever happened. Shining when we're finally free. Oh, I don't know if it's right or wrong, but come stay with me. I wanna hear every beat of your heart. If it's good or bad, come be with me, and I'll give you every key to my heart. That was I Felt Stupid by The Drums. This New York band, a tit for the top in 2010. The people doing the tipping thought Dan Black would make it big this year, so what do they know? The group were formed by Jonathan Pierce and Jacob Graham. The duo have played together in other groups, most notably Goat Explosion. Oddly enough, though, check this out, logic here. If you blew up a goat, you could take the skin and make a drum out of it. So there's
could
a link.
You, though, because wouldn't the skin be ruptured by the explosion?
It's true. I suppose if you used a small device and took care to kind of actually, I don't know, take it from the spine area or something where it's most protected by bone.
You need an explosive expert.
Yeah, okay.
People, it blows up. Yeah.
Or maybe put that on the blog. A little quote from explosive expert. Anyway, this is The Drums. Regular listeners to this podcast may well know that this isn't normally my type of music. And I thought partly I'd bring it in because people are talking about it and see what the group opinion is. But I don't mind this track. It's jangly, it's got that Cure-ish, New Order-ish vibe about it, and it's definitely something you could imagine on a John Hughes soundtrack were such a thing to appear today after his death, which would be something quite phenomenal. It's got a lovely chorus, but what kind of sticks with me really is how counterpointed it is to a lot of the New York stuff we talk about when we talk about this fuzz and recorded in basements and things being deliberately difficult to kind of grasp and trying to obscure the for want of a better word, beauty of the pop song under a load of fuzz. This is very simple, straightforward, melodic pop that wants you to like it. It has all the kind of tropes in the lyrics about keys to the heart and brushing your hair and all nice little things that isn't served up with a side order or a fuzz or indeed irony, which I found quite interesting. Rosie?
I think that they sound a lot like Black Kids. But they haven't yet received the insane level of
hype or kicking
that Black Kids got. And also, listening to what they've got in their MySpace, they have got better tunes, which I think always helps if you're trying to get people to like your music. I do like it a lot, actually. I mean, it's obviously the Black Kids were hugely influenced by The Cure, and this guy sounds so much like Robert Smith in a great way. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I think it's kind of interesting that late 80s new wave is making its mark again and again on different bands. I guess, I mean, for some reason Mystery Jets are jumping at me, but there are just loads of bands for whom that period of music is an endless source of influence and inspiration. And you're seeing at the moment, for example, Trevor Horn just made the Robbie album, which kind of got mixed reviews, but didn't get totally panned. He's now working with this sort of new emerging artist from Manchester called Carl Martin, who's that sort of new Jamie T person. They've obviously brought Trevor Horn in to kind of
give it that 80s sound.
And it just seems like it's everywhere, and particularly that pocket of music that was, New Wave is everything from Roxy Music to The Cure, but it's that pocket of quite a British sound as well seems to be making a comeback, and I think that's totally welcome because it's a lovely sound.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is definitely a more upbeat and outgoing sound than a lot of the C86 stuff that we've been hearing of late. What is your take on this, Will?
I was actually fairly underwhelmed by it. I was listening to the original Elkie Brooks track as part of my cursory research, and I listened to the drums straight away afterwards, and it just felt like there was no sort of soul behind it. It felt like a lot of bands I heard in 2007. It seems odd to me that they're a band that people are saying this is an exciting thing that's going to happen next year. It just sounded like quite decent guitar music and
nothing more. Do you think it brings anything to the table that wouldn't have been found amongst the constituent parts of this new wave music in the 80s itself?
I mean, I can't imagine it does. I mean, if you look at the the start of the chorus, the intonation of the melody is very similar to the start of the chorus of Friday I'm in Love.
Yeah.
Like, so much so that I thought, I know that.
Yeah.
There was nothing for me here.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm inclined to agree with you, Will, even though this is my recommendation. Although, I think you listen to some more of their stuff, and they are definitely inclined to come from the more gloomier, gothier side of the Cure stuff. So this... when compared to the rest of their stuff, stands out a little bit. But I think if you were to compare it to the work that exists in the past, maybe not so much. However, you can check it out for yourself, of course. You can listen to the track on The Drums' MySpace. And I Felt Stupid by The Drums is out on Moshi Moshi Records to buy on December the 7th. Some of your thoughts on last week's choices, which actually kind of drummed up... look at that pun there. Drummed up a lot of comment, and a lot of it positive, which was good. EJD said, would it be unfair to say that Hatari reminded me a lot of Mikachu? That's no bad thing, though, but I thought it was a Mika Levy side project at first. My favourite was Yaysayer. It sounds like they've matured just right and are ready to be munched over a nice country bread. I'm thinking hazelnut and raisin. Is that a country bread? You're the expert around here at Baker's. Hazelnut and raisin, that's not a country.
I'm confused by the whole... analogy.
The whole analogy. This is the arts for you. We get creative over here. It's not like your entertainment. Rosie.
RG Scott said, your loopy rhythmic singles club this week was top class. I was wiggling around to all of it. All three sounded really original and very listenable, although that Mary J track was hideous, and the Mary J track was obviously on the montage.
Yeah, it was on the montage, and I put it in this filler or something like that. Anyway, we want your reviews of this week's tracks too. That's The Drums, Fool's Gold and So Solid on our blog at guardian.co.uk/musicweekly, or of course you can post on Facebook. Go to Facebook, type in Music Weekly, you'll find us there. Tell us what you think of those tracks and these others that are out to buy next week. LaRue, Quicksand. David Guetta and Estelle, One Love. Jamie T, Man's Machine. Chris Brown. I can transform ya. Thank you very much to Will Dean for coming in to join us for Singles Club today.
It's been a pleasure.
Hope to see you soon. That's it for this week's Singles Club. Next on Music Weekly, everything, everything. I will give you an extra life when I got the high school. That's Photoshop Handsome by Everything Everything. Making music that's a bit foals, a bit wild beasts. Everything Everything make post-punk with a poppy edge. And lots of your youthful internets speak gets in there too. Check recent single My Kids Your Boyf for reference. The Manchester-based band are not short of opinions. The White Stripes and Oasis got short shrift when I met them in the pod this week. But I started by asking them what it's like being a new band in Manchester right now.
It's definitely good for new bands. It's not hard to get gigs, but it does have a sort of retrogressive streak, which can be quite tiresome. You know, the ghost of Oasis and indeed all the great music as well, like from the Factory days and the Hacienda, that's all good stuff, but it's all in the past. So there are a few bands like ourselves, well, hopefully like ourselves, who are trying to do something new. When we played our first few gigs, when you play on bands with 10, a bill with 10 bands on it, 9 of those bands would be in Parker's playing Arctic Monkeys, Oasis type, meat and potatoes rock, and there's no shortage of that, and there never will be. Yeah.
Tell us about my kiz, your boyf.
That's enough pronunciation.
Yeah, there you go.
My kiz, that one your up. Boyfriend.
Yeah, it's got cool abbreviation. It sounds like it's for the kids. But it's got this something that almost sounds, the lyrics in it, something that's slightly unsettling, maybe almost intimating a bit of kind of 70s style wife swapping going on.
Yeah, that's come up before.
Yeah, common misconception.
It's a good it's reading of it,
though. It's because of the keys reference.
And the boyfriend in such and close proximity.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It's painfully modern. It's not a sort of 70s white swapping thing. It's,
no, not at all.
It's based around sort of American R&B vernacular. Like the keys to my truck and all that kind of rubbish.
It's basically a lot of very mundane details that you tend to find in R&B. You know, kind of, he paged me this and I put my cup down. I said, what? Which we're kind of referencing by having things like tossing me my keys, you know, a detail you don't need to know from this scene. But then it's based in a sort of war-torn Middle Eastern country. So you're imagining how ridiculous it would be if there were these R&B people talking about these mundanities.
When many more serious things.
When there's bombs dropping on their heads.
What's going on inside.
Yeah.
I think it's characteristic of your music as a whole. It switches. Almost like tempo, but keys and instrumentation throughout. Very quickly and suddenly. Are you that full of ideas or are you just quite fidgety?
Both, really.
Yeah. I think we probably... I mean, I'd like to make them more
like right. That. So wow.
I think it probably is a case of both, yeah. But
it was one of the few songs actually where we had two separate demos and we monkeyed with the keys so that they would kind of match and actually stuck them together.
Those original for the chorus, yeah. Just sort of like a straight up R&B tune.
Yeah, it was amazing. A lot slower. It's really good, yeah. bits of the verses and the bridge came from a different place where the chorus had come from. And normally that's quite a bad way to do things. You get that kind of botched song. I mean, Kasabian. God. you can tell they've done it without really trying to match A and B. They just put a little sort of bar of noise in and then you can go into the Gary Glitter bit. But we did actually, we found it did work quite well. And hopefully
well.
It just sounds like a whole, albeit quite a disparate whole, rather than... In two different, yeah, Sugar Babes. You know, that's a good
if
example.
The verses were like the chorus, that would, then the whole thing would become something other that we probably wouldn't be quite so confident.
We know the chorus behind. Is towing the line in terms yeah. of taste, which is why there's a certain tongue-in-cheek element to the lyric as well. So we try to keep the verses a little bit more
interesting.
Yeah,
I see.
Got a sort of.
I'd like to ask you about your influences. You've got a great list on MySpace, which is great for several reasons. Firstly, because it means I don't have to ask you what your influences are. It saves that traditional question.
We probably need to update them. Some of them are less relevant than they used to be.
Ah.
Some more relevant than they used to be.
Well, hopefully this one's... Because I'd like to ask you about R. Kelly, because you were referencing your R&B earlier on.
Definitely.
And Mr. R. Kelly is in there. What is it in particular that speaks to you about him?
Mostly it's the fact that he's completely unaware of his own ridiculousness. Kind of like Alan Partridge or something. David Brent. He kind of... goes off on these tangents that he thinks are so sincere and, you know, great. And some of the things he says are just so ludicrous. And yet, amongst it all, you'll get sort of a 5-second, 10-second passage that really is brilliant, even though
amazing.
He's singing it's about something singer. Absolutely stupid.
And just, occasionally he'll just toss a line out that's just incredible shape melodically. And that it does, like, make your spine tingle, but he's singing about his mobile.
Yeah,
and that's so engaging.
So amazing. It's like Nate Dogg. He's just singing about the same old themes, but just the way he does it, I think it's, and the fact that he doesn't know he's doing it, and he thinks he's good for all these other reasons. I mean, Trapped in the Closet obviously is a prime example of him thinking something's good, and then it getting out of hand, and he thinks he's making a joke, and yet all the time, the best thing about it is that he doesn't realise what's good about himself. He just thinks, you know, it's great, but he's ludicrous.
What works its way into the music is the vocal audacity.
Mm.
And rhythm in the vocal is really important. That's something you don't get in white so-called indie music
right.
at all. And he will give a syllable to a quaver. So you can have 8 syllables in the bar. Mm. And which is what we do a lot of as well. Sometimes too much to our detriment, we have to strip it out a bit. But that's something that's possibly
he's almost,
more unique
he's
about.
He's almost rapping, I suppose. And I suppose we are in a
melodic,
sort of horrible shrieking way.
That's Everything Everything and My Kids Your Boyf is available now. Check out myspace.com/everythingeverythingUK for more. Feature with no name. Gareth Grundy, born on Sunday, is in the chair this week, and it's about time we had a bit of post-Britpop music. So here's our Gareth waxing lyrical about Shaq.
Based around the gifted songwriting core of brothers Michael and John Head, Shaq are among the great nearly men of British music, their story one of terrific records and dreadful luck, some of it self-inflicted. Water Pistol, the tremendous album on which Sergeant Major first appeared, was one of the very best albums of the 1990s, but not nearly enough people heard it. Recorded in 1991, but creeping out on tiny German independent label Marina in 1995, it was almost never released at all. The studio burned down with the master tapes still inside. Fortunately, producer Chris Allison had a DAT copy of the record, but less fortunately, he'd left it in a hire car in America. The diligent rental operation tracked it down, but by this time no one wanted to release it anyway. Shaq were a band out of time, too early and not obvious enough for Britpop, and with a checkered past. Debut album, 1988 Zilch, was clobbered by its overcooked production. This did nothing for Michael Head's gorgeous tunes, which drew on the more freewheeling aspects of 60s pop, particularly the graceful side of Bacharach and David, and the giddy psychedelia of Love's Arthur Lee, their great idol who they once supported when he played Liverpool. Those songwriting skills had been honed in the Head's first band, the much underrated Pale Fountains, whose two albums, 1984's Pacific Street and 1985's From Across the Kitchen Table, were well worth the critical raves they received at the time and deserved far better than barely scraping into the top 100. Still, by the late 90s, things were actually looking up in Shaq world. Water Pistol gathered a cult following which was soon built upon by the magical world of The Strands, a one-off release by the Head's folk offshoot, The Strands. Dreamy and pastoral, it was once described as a smack album by Michael Head, whose writing has always been shot through with the ups and downs of working-class life in Liverpool. Lest we forget, this is a band who thanked the boys at Cash Converters in the sleeve notes for their third album, 1999's HMS Fable. Released on a major label, HMS Fable was drenched in strings and grand arrangements, and there was a sense it might finally be their commercial breakthrough. At the time, the NME called Michael Head our greatest songwriter, and for once that didn't seem too hyperbolic. Here, from HMS Fable, is Cornish Town. What was wrong with the choice you made? If I don't wanna set it down in a Cornish town. And what was wrong with loves that came? Was too. It's like you say, close your eyes and come and cross my street. Of course, in typical Shaq fashion, success eluded them, and they were dropped. A self-release album, 2003's more low-key, though still excellent, Here's Tom with the Weather, followed. It then found a wealthy benefactor in the shape of longtime fan Noel Gallagher. The former Oasis man released 2006's On the Corner of Miles and Gill on his own Sour Mash label, repayment perhaps for this distinct Shaq influence on the track Part of the Cue from the preceding year's Oasis album Don't Believe the Truth. At this point, even Pete Townsend was singing Shaq's praises. From On the Corner of Miles and Gill, this is Finn, Sophie, Bobby and Lance. And all the papers saying they find us in the night. No one heard the sound. She'd say, Finn, Sophie, Bobby and Lance. They didn't stand a chance. Deep in the forest, stories through the night. We all gather round. With Mrs. Carney's stories, no one makes a sound. By now, Shaq had settled into cult appeal, going as far as briefly reforming the Pale Fountains for two 25th anniversary shows, one in London, one in Liverpool, in February last year. Mick and John Head spent this summer playing solo acoustic gigs, but are together again under the Shaq name at Liverpool's Academy on 15th of December. You could do worse than make the trip. Didn't have a chance.
That's Gareth on Shaq, and the feature with no name will be back next week. More face back now. Clan Jamfrey said, Rosie.
I see Rosie's mum's comment got through to you. I related to that one. There hasn't been a mumble for a fortnight. Well done. I'm pronouncing properly.
You did. That was beautiful enunciation. Portishair, our old pal, was on the blog saying, another fantastic show. You've hit a real peak in the last couple of weeks, I think. What is that? How? I mean, I thought it was exactly the same as all the others. We must have done something special.
You didn't feel it in the air?
No, I mean, I did have a protein shake before I came on. Maybe that's that what it was. He also says, I'm a huge Steinbeck man. If you haven't read Travels with Charlie, you really should. So I love the Mumford interview. Always good to hear from the cousin's head, et al. I think he's talking about Jeff Barrow there. But I'm not sure about Beak. I did really want one of those limited edition packs, though. New Portishead material result. Now a tour, please.
I think he was joking about the material. Portishead.
See, well, he wasn't going to get one anyway, so I mean, the disappointment is minimal. You can post comments on our guest this week. That's Everything, Everything and the Mighty Gonzalez. Tell us what you made of them on theguardian.co.uk/musicweekly or the Facebook page. However, that brings us to a close this week. Rosie Swash.
Yes.
It's been a real pleasure.
And mine. Pleasure's all mine or something.
All right. On that note, we'll leave you. We've been the podcast. We'll see you next Friday. Goodbye.